afternoon and welcome to The Spoken Words.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Ella.
And we're your hosts today. We're going to work on the introduction.
Every week. We were actually just talking about this.
Yeah, we
have how we need one.
Something in the pipeline.
We do. It's very exciting. It actually is exciting.
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of exciting.
Creating something potentially.
Although we came up with it about 2 hours ago, so we didn't have time to do it for today. But next week, we definitely will.
Well, let's not use the word definitely because that's a very sure word.
We can do it.
I think we can. We have experience in audio editing, after all.
We do.
Technically.
We do.
So we're good.
I just finished, making an audio project, so I'm on top of my game.
An expert.
I have Audacity installed on my computer.
Nice.
It's all happening.
Even I have Audacity installed on my computer. We got this.
Wow.
Yeah, it was for French. So there's a lot of pretty bad projects saved on there.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do we need to mention the zombie broadcast?
Because
that was also something that we used Audacity for.
That is very true.
Correct?
I'm incredibly proud of that. It was the final project for one of our classes that we took.
It was incredible.
That is...
In one sense of the word.
That is technically a word that you could use to describe this. It's something that no one will ever hear.
No.
Except you, me, and Casey. Casey Jarin.
Who's now gone.
Who left academia after hearing our project.
I don't blame her.
Fair enough. It was not good.
No.
But it... No, it wasn't even creative. It
was creative.
It was kind of creative.
It was creative.
It was like a radio drama that we voice acted, so you can see the downfall.
It was terrible.
Already. The writing might have been okay. The voice acting and the editing were perhaps where it fell down.
Yeah. I think the names and the accents were the best.
It was very down-homey, kind of southern flavor to it.
Even though it was like taking place in the Midwest, I think.
I think it was indistinct.
Although, was it?
To be honest, I have not listened to it in its entirety since then.
Okay.
It's like 20 minutes long and we had, I think, three separate songs. So the actual content involved was maybe
minimal.
10 to 15 minutes. It went 0 to 60 real fast, too,
because
it was like normal town broadcast to zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. But like fairly run-of-the-mill zombie apocalypse to our strange over-the-top version of zombie apocalypse.
That's true.
I don't know what happened there.
I don't either. But that shows the creativity that you can bring to final projects in our English department here.
And our new exciting intro, which we'll be revealing next week.
Yeah.
Thankfully, with no voice acting by the two of us, because you get enough of that on the regular show.
Yeah. Very true. So, what's going on in the English department this week, Ella?
Well, two exciting things are going on in the English department this week. On Wednesday.
That's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Nice.
Marlon James will be having his fancy party.
I'm unfamiliar with this person.
You say that every single week.
I know. It never gets old.
And we talk about him every single week, so.
I have amnesia.
I know.
I'm sorry. But yes. Very fancy party.
We've
been talking about it for weeks on end.
We have.
It's in Janet Wallace, discussed on the off chance that you have not listened faithfully to all of these broadcasts. You have to RSVP. Did we mention that?
Yeah.
So if you haven't yet, go ahead and do that now.
4:30.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably got an email.
You definitely did.
RSVP too.
It's going to be food.
Light refreshments. Good champagne.
Champagne.
Probably books, book readings.
Good company.
Good company. Some speeches.
Speeches.
Speechifying.
Probably more than one.
I think there's going to be at least a Briro speech and a Dayland speech. So that's two right there.
All right.
It's two right there.
All right.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
It is.
I feel like the more we say that, the more sarcastic it sounds, but we're not actually intending it that way.
Yeah.
Because it will actually be good.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it sounded sarcastic.
Okay.
Maybe you're just jaded to the world.
I think it's just the fact that most of the things I say are sarcastic. So at this point,
it's hard to parse out what's
not
like
sarcastic. My natural tone.
And genuine. Yeah.
Sounds inherently sarcastic at this point.
You know, it's your thing.
Yeah.
You do it.
That's true. It's kind of your thing, too.
Okay.
Wow. Are you being sarcastic right now?
I was.
Oh, my God.
I was.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Moving on from that. So, yes, 4:30, Janet Wallace, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yes.
I have no RSVP. Idea if you have to be early or not. I don't feel probably, like you do.
I don't think. There's not going to be like a line out the door or anything.
Yeah. It's a McAllister event, so it's probably going to start 10 to 20 minutes late anyway.
Yeah.
Standard. I always am a little thrown when I go to events off campus.
And they start on time.
They start on time, and I'm like, what is this? Why are you already getting up and talking?
Yeah. It's too
soon. 7 o'clock, and he said he'd start at 7. I don't understand. It really kind of hurts my scheduling, to be honest.
Tough.
But, you know, that's life.
It is life.
It's life. That's what we have to adjust
to.
The
burden we have to bear.
Oh, boy. Burden. This is getting intense.
I know.
Hmm. So, usually on Wednesday nights, don't we have treat night, Ella?
We do.
Oh, my God. But does that mean we're not having treat night this week?
That's not what it means.
Good.
There still will be
when?
A party. A treat night.
I'm going to need more details.
On Friday.
Friday, October 30th. That's awful close to the holiday of Halloween.
Is it
going to be the treat night going to be related?
It will be Halloween themed.
Oh my God.
In actual fact.
Get ready, guys, because this Friday is the English department Halloween party. Always a good time.
Every year.
Wait, do we know where it is now? Is it in the lounge or is it on fourth floor?
I think it's in the lounge.
Okay.
Or whatever, second floor. We might have it in the hallway.
But. Okay, cool. So it's where treat night normally is, Old Main, second floor. Follow the sound of people being happy and enjoying
and
life.
And joyful.
It's at 4:30 still.
Yes.
It's on Friday instead of Wednesday. And the Halloween party is always a good time.
Always.
There's technically a costume contest. Rarely do people actually dress up.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody dress up.
I think maybe our freshman year, one guy who had red hair, like, was carrying a thing of bread, and he was like, I'm the gingerbread man. And that was, like, about the extent of everyone's costumes.
That's fair.
So, you know.
That's fair.
Like, clever but lazy. That's kind of our way. So, go for that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you don't win anything, but, you know, you get the joy of participating in the holiday
party.
You
get bragging rights.
You get bragging rights. You get to eat food.
Yes.
Everyone else does too, but, you know.
Especially you.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're sneaking into the food corner
we
here.
We are. It's now time to go, in fact, to the food corner.
Bringing back our jingles that we've been doing.
Welcome back to the food corner. My favorite.
It's time to talk about food, as that song indicated.
There's actually more to talk about food this week than average.
Yeah, because normally treat night, it has one thing.
It's one thing,
and it's a good
like
thing.
Maybe a drink, maybe a little side dish, but no.
The Halloween party, English department goes all out.
All out. Yes. We will be having walking tacos.
What's a walking taco, Ella? Because when I came to Minnesota, I had no idea. I'd never heard of them.
And that's just very strange. They're only the greatest thing in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Dorito bag, and then you fill it with beans.
A small, like, single serving one.
Yeah,
I feel like it's important to mention. This is a single
like
serving
a giant
thing.
Family size. No, single serving Dorito bag. You fill it with beans and cheese and salsa and tomatoes and sour cream.
I think some lettuce too, right?
Lettuce.
Throw it in
yes.
there. Just all your traditional taco toppings.
Mm-hmm. And then you break it all up and get it all crunchy and then you shake the bag and then you eat it with a fork and it's amazing.
It is amazing. They're really good, actually.
They are.
You walk around with them because they're walking tacos.
Are we supposed to call them Walking Dead tacos?
Yes.
Because they're Halloween themed.
Yeah.
So they're Walking Dead tacos.
Yeah. For these specific ones.
Yes.
Fitting with the Halloween theme.
Yes. We're also having, what else are we having? Those little ghosts or bananas that look like ghosts.
They're so cute.
Yes.
You cut a banana in half. Put
chocolate
some
things.
Chocolate chips in there to make them
it's
look like eyes.
It's all happening.
Very adorable.
Clementines that look like pumpkins.
Put a little celery up in there so they look like tiny little pumpkins.
Dirt cups.
Dirt cups, a classic. Oh my God. I guess
always.
It's conceivable that someone wouldn't know what a dirt cup is as well. So that's chocolate pudding, crushed Oreos on the top to represent the dirt. gummy worms. Probably a little whipped cream. Yeah, I'm not sure what it represents thematically in the dirt cup idea, but maybe snow because it's Minnesota.
Yeah, snow. It mostly, works for me.
Mostly it represents deliciousness.
Yes.
Mm, I love dirt cups.
I think that's on the that's in dirt cups.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Cider.
Cider. Mm.
We're going to...
Always good.
Try and put those, like, eyeballs. We're going to try and make it work. It did not work last year.
Okay.
We're going to try and make it work this year.
We can do this. We're all adults here.
If all works comes to worse, we'll still have cider, so it's fine.
Yeah. It just maybe won't be as... Halloween-themed.
I mean, cider is kind of inherently Halloween-themed, so...
That's true.
It still works.
You don't need floating ice eyeballs to make it Halloween-y. No. But we'll try to bring that to you.
Will try. And I think that might be it. Oh, and little spider guys.
Oh, yeah.
Made out of crackers and...
It's crackers and... What were their legs?
Chow mein noodles.
Oh.
It actually, yeah.
Interesting. I do like chow mein noodles. Mm-hmm.
And raisins for the eyes.
All right. Raisins are kind of gross, but...
Yeah.
That's okay. They're not terrible. I'll probably eat some.
You know, in very small quantities with other things, they're fine.
Yeah. Will there be any candy corn on display for eating purposes?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I hope so.
Candy corn's disgusting.
I love candy corn.
It's the worst.
In actual fact.
I know you do. It's wrong, but...
You know what's really great is you go out, like, the day after Halloween and you go to the store and you get, like, just bags and bags of candy corn for really cheap because nobody wants them but me.
You know,
it's wonderful.
You are free to have them.
I'm taking advantage of the
system. Keep them away from me. I hate candy corn.
I'm going to come and throw them at your window in the early morning.
That's weird and also rude, and I don't like it. To be honest, I don't even like real corn, so I guess it was inevitable.
You don't like real corn?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my thing.
You don't like things with corn in it, or you don't like corn? Or both?
Kind of both. I mean, I don't mind.
What about cornbread?
Cornbread's pretty good.
Cornbread's amazing.
I don't hate corn. It's just I would never buy it for myself.
How can you legally live in the Midwest without liking corn?
It's actually, that's probably why, because we have it so much. Done with it at this point.
That's possible.
It is probably, I probably shouldn't have admitted that on the radio while I'm still in the Midwest. I might not be allowed to go back to Kansas now.
They're coming after you.
Oh my God, what if I have a plane ticket? What if they, like, mark my name? Corn hater.
Corn
hater. Do not allow back in the state. I love sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
That's another Kansas thing. Let me back.
Is that a Kansas thing?
It's the sunflower state. That's its motto.
Wait, I knew that.
What's Minnesota? Wait, I know. What? It's the... Lakes.
Oh, lakes.
This is just the 10,000. Okay.
State of 10,000 lakes, yeah.
That makes sense.
There
is a lake every place you look.
What's the... I think it's like blueberries? Is that the...
Isn't that Maine? I don't know. It could be both places. I don't know that much about... I don't know.
I thought it was the blueberry muffin was like the state... like dessert thing. You know what? I will look it up over the break.
Okay.
And get back to you all.
Nice.
Because I care deeply about this.
But that's all the main food that we need to talk about. But there's going to be something else happening at the Halloween party in addition to delicious food, amazing company, spooky music playlist probably will be playing, decorations, but also another English department
tradition.
Amazing event. Amazing tradition.
The reveal of the t-shirt.
Yeah!
Woo! We can't actually tell you what's on the t-shirt,
it's
although we both know what it is.
Yeah, we do. We can promise you it's good.
It is. We saw the design today. It looks pretty rad.
High quality. I'm very excited to wear it.
Mm. But yes, we will reveal those also at the Halloween party. So there's just a lot going on.
Exactly.
So you should show up.
Yeah. So that's the free t-shirt for all majors and minors. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
So they are. You've probably seen people around campus wearing them.
Mm-hmm. In previous years, it's been Shakespeare on a blue shirt.
Emily Dickinson on blue. Toni Morrison on green.
Yeah.
And this year, it's something new.
Oh my God. Beautiful.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting.
I'm excited.
I actually am excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a free shirt, first of all.
Yeah. And it's a cool free shirt.
Get to rep the English department.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you may be in this weary world. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I have some people, when they go studying abroad, they take pictures with their English department shirt. I've seen them. They exist.
I feel like I might have even done that. I don't remember.
I don't think I ever did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a bad English major.
Well, I would be ashamed if I were you, but, you know.
I brought them with me, but I didn't like take any pictures with them.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
I mean, I think when I took a picture, I was technically wearing it, but I was also wearing a jacket over it, so you could not see
the English department shirt. Well, that doesn't really count.
I mean, everyone knows in their heart that I was wearing it.
I don't know that in
They know
heart.
That the blue collar is my Shakespeare shirt.
What if it was your Emily Dickinson shirt?
Oh, my God. I went to a Shakespeare in the Park festival last summer, and I wore my Shakespeare shirt. I felt very,
very cool.
Like I belonged.
Cultured.
Cultured.
Yeah.
Gotta love that Shakespeare.
Yeah. Mm. I do.
Yeah. I said that again. This is another
that
situation
sounds
where
sarcastic.
Like... where the natural register of my voice and style of speaking made it sound like I was being sarcastic, but I actually really love Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So, go figure.
I just finished reading Macbeth. It's, you know, it's
the season.
Happening.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
How about the new movie that's coming out?
I am ridiculously excited about the movie.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for months. That's actually why I reread it.
Nice. Michael Fassbender. Who's Lady Macbeth?
Marion Cotillard.
Marion Cotillard.
Yes.
I might get over my weird Michael Fassbender blindness. Like, I have a problem where I'm...
You do.
Like, physically incapable of recognizing Michael Fassbender's face for some reason.
He has a fairly distinctive face.
I know, it's bizarre.
Okay.
But I'll see a picture and I'll be like, who is that gentleman? I'll be like, oh, it's a man who's, I've seen
very
in many
famous,
movies,
yeah.
Who's very famous. You know, so maybe this will be the one.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll watch Macbeth and I will learn what
maybe.
He looks like. We can dream.
Yeah. But that movie is coming out in December.
Yeah, go watch it.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
You can go see the trailer right now, which is... A plus.
Nice.
A plus.
Shakespeare.
Gotta love it. Anyway.
Yes.
So I'm probably going to think about how much I love Shakespeare while we move into some music.
Let's do it. Let's listen
yes.
to music.
I'm gonna first play some...
Just say it. Just Johann.
Exciting.
Sebastian Bach.
Oh, I was going to say in lieu of you being in a music appreciation class. I'm assuming that's why you chose this song.
It's conceivable that we studied it for music appreciation.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Johann.
I stand by it.
All right.
I stand by my main man, Johann, and this song, The Little Fugue in G Minor, as opposed to the other one that he wrote.
Is there a big fugue in G Minor?
I don't remember if they call it that.
No.
They call it something. It's another fugue that's also in G Minor, so they have... It's, you know, I'm basically an expert at this point. I've taken a few months
okay.
of a 100 level
wow.
music class.
Wow.
Yeah. Not to brag. It's kind of like how I'm also an expert in astronomy at this point.
Also, which is not true.
Nope, it is not.
I've actually taken piano exams, so.
There you go. Look at us.
I know things.
We're pretty much amazing musicians. I don't know why we're not at Juilliard right now, frankly, but that's where life took us,
Mr.
okay?
Calling. I guess.
Okay. Anyway. Enjoy Bach.
Thank you. dis-moi d'où il vient. Enfin, je saurai où je vais. Maman dit que lorsqu'on cherche bien, on finit toujours par trouver. Elle dit qu'il n'est jamais très loin, qu'il part très souvent travailler. Maman dit travailler c'est bien, bien mieux qu'être mal accompagné. Pas vrai, où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Hey. Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es, où t'es, où papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Qu'on y croit ou pas, y aura bien un jour où on n'y croira plus. Un jour ou l'autre, on sera tous papa et d'un jour à l'autre, on aura disparu. Serons-nous détestables? Serons-nous admirables? Des géniteurs ou des génies? Dites-nous qui donne naissance aux irresponsables? Hein? Dites-nous qui? Tiens, tout le monde sait comment on fait des bébés, mais personne sait comment on fait des papas. Monsieur, je sais tout, on aurait hérité, c'est ça. Faut le sucer de son pouce ou quoi? Dites-nous où c'est caché, ça doit faire au moins mille fois qu'on a bouffé nos doigts. Hey! Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Papa, dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Hey, où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Hey. Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es, où t'es, où papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es, où t'es, où papa, où t'es?
Welcome back. You're listening to 91.7 FM McAllister College Radio,
St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right.
We got this.
I didn't say WMCN.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We don't got this.
We don't.
I got really excited.
We got the teamwork down, but we did not get the full tag down.
Oh, boy. You know, it's a work in progress.
It is.
One day we will figure it out.
You.
Potentially yeah. after graduation. We'll finally have it
potentially.
Down and we'll be gone.
Potentially.
You know, it's fine.
It is.
Oh, boy. Now I'm so embarrassed.
You should be. I also should be.
I'm not embarrassed.
I am.
Anyway. How about that music?
You were just listening to Down the Line by Jose Gonzalez. And before that was In the Room Where You Sleep by Dead Man's Bones, which, in case you didn't know, fun fact, it's Ryan Gosling's band.
Yeah.
That's right. Ryan Gosling has a band.
And it's much spookier than you might
yes.
typically all their
music
expect.
Are like that.
Yeah.
That song was actually in the movie The Conjuring, which is about ghosts and stuff. So it's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. Anyway.
Ryan Gosling's second life.
Yeah. Before that was Papa Tui?
Oh, Papa Ute. Sorry.
Papa Ute.
I should be here. Papa Ute.
Papa Ute. Okay.
No, it's by Stroma. You know the song.
By Stroma.
Oh, God. Just stop talking for a while. You know the song. He's Belgian. He's good. Listen to him.
I didn't know that song.
You didn't?
I've never heard that
you've
song
never
before.
Heard Papa Ute?
No.
Oh, boy. You know, you should get out more. Get out sometime.
To Belgium, apparently.
It's a deeply famous song.
I'm deeply...
That's not the adjective that one typically uses, but I feel like that describes how famous that song is.
Okay.
Everyone else has heard it.
Well, good for them.
Okay. Anyway, I'm here to make you feel ashamed for not listening to French language music.
That's funny, because I don't speak French, so
yeah.
I wouldn't spend a lot of time listening to French language music.
Yeah.
Although I speak Spanish and I don't spend a lot of time listening to Spanish music.
Yeah, get on that.
I've listened to some Spanish music. I've probably listened to more Spanish music than the average person
that doesn't
speak Spanish.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway.
Okay.
The very first song we played was Little Fugue in G minor by our buddy,
our main man, Johann.
Bach.
Sebi Bach.
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 No one wants to hear that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that just happened on the radio. Anyway.
I apologize.
Anyway. I don't actually have a transition. I was hoping that you would, like, take it up.
Well, should we get into the meat of this hour?
We figured that we would get into the meat of our show at 35 minutes after it started. Because that's, like, the sweet spot. When you really want to start talking about your main
the
topic.
The important issues.
That's how I write papers, too.
Yeah.
I just, like, ramble in the introduction.
Figure it out.
The first couple of body paragraphs, whatever. Like, just write down some stuff.
Definitely.
Then the third paragraph, you actually,
you
like,
hit your
put
stride.
Your argument. And then you conclude.
That's what the phrase, hit your stride, is about.
Exactly.
And also, it's like those songs where they start and then they start talking in the middle, so you know it's serious.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I should work at the Mac Center. And help people with their writing.
You really should not.
Nope,
you
I should.
Will cause many, many people to fail their essays.
So
do
true.
Not work at the Mac Center.
Okay, it's just taking even longer to get to. Okay, so what we're talking about today is study
away. Away?
Study away.
Okay.
At McAllister, which you say study away because not everyone goes abroad, apparently.
Apparently.
Which is true.
It's very true.
But we might use the terms interchangeably throughout this broadcast in the hopes that will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
Off-campus study. That's the official term.
Off-campus study,
You know it. You love it. You might have done
You've gotten multiple numerous emails about it.
Yes.
Or you've already gone through it. Possibly. Although everyone's gotten multiple numerous emails about it.
That's true. That's true.
They hound you.
Anyway, we're kind of like focusing mostly on definitely English department and kind of talking more to first years and sophomores right now, because if you're junior year, you're either abroad or
you know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like if you are going abroad senior year, you know the process by now.
Yeah.
And if you're a senior, sorry, too late. You goofed.
You're doomed.
You can't do it. Can't do it.
Well, you could probably do it, you know, just not in school.
Well, that's true. But that's not studying, is it? Except I'm, as a student of life, I'm always studying, no matter where I am.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that all of you had to hear that.
I have to be.
Oh, God.
In close proximity to that.
Yeah. Anyway. So, hello, sophomores and first years who are perhaps interested in both an English major and off-campus study.
Yes.
We're talking to you now. Go ahead and do those applications, bro.
Get them done. We have both studied abroad, and I left mine until the very, very, very last minute, which was not
a shocker.
The thing to do. Not a shocker, but also not intelligent.
No. Don't do that. You will have to write essays.
Many essays.
Do you have to get, like, references? You have to get references, too.
I don't think I got a reference. Oh. I don't think necessarily.
Okay, never mind. But my program didn't trust me.
Many, many things.
And if you're getting a reference, ask like a month in advance. Don't
come to them the day of.
Don't mess around.
Don't start crying.
Don't even come to them 2 weeks out. That's, you know, a month. Aim for a month if you can. 2 weeks and cry, maybe. You'll get away with it.
2 weeks and cry? Okay.
One day, you're not going abroad.
You're doomed.
If you haven't gotten it one day before the application is due, then you are me and you have a problem.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different options for study abroad for an English major.
Go on the programs, or you can do direct enroll.
There's probably other options. Those are the main ones, though.
Yeah.
We both did direct enroll in universities, and we actually both went to the UK. So we're not coming from, like, a hugely,
varied
perspectives here.
Interesting, maybe. Varied.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you know, I was in Scotland. You were in England.
I was in London.
It's pretty different.
They were different. I mean, London's a big city. And
that's true.
St. Andrews
and I was in
is
St. Andrews,
a small
which is,
ish place.
Like 20,000 people.
Yeah. So they were different.
So they're
not
like slightly different. But like in terms of the overall off-campus
like
study experience.
Culture, yeah.
I mean, many.
They're pretty similar.
Maybe even most people go to a country that doesn't speak English. So like
most?
Most? I would be willing to bet that more than 50%.
Maybe.
Because that's one of the greatest benefits for normal people who care about learning or whatever, is going to another place and actually learning to speak a language competently.
That's true.
Which I didn't do.
I did not do.
Nope. I just.
You didn't even learn how to do a Scottish accent competently.
That's not true, lassie. I speak Scottish brilliantly.
That's
on a recording
beautiful.
Now forever. That's, oh, boy.
It is.
Oh, golly.
I will not be demonstrating my English accent, so.
Hello, top of the morning to you. I'm from England.
Terrible.
Study abroad. So what we did was direct enroll in a university, which means that we were actually matriculated as students at, respectively, University of St. Andrews and King's College.
So you had to turn in the McAllister application and the actual university application.
So it was kind of like doing... I mean, it's like it's easier because typically these people want study abroad students, but it's for all intents and purposes essentially the same as like applying to McAllister again. You know, you get your essays, you get references, or at least I did.
It's pretty much the same.
Turn all the stuff in online. Have to get like dorm stuff figured out. Or
that was actually like the most confusing part of it.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
That's something that they should know is like. Everything, most of it is through, at least through direct enrollment, most of it is like through Mac, except for food and board.
Yeah, so you're still paying McAllister tuition, and you're paying it to Mac, and then Mac,
they pay
like,
it to them.
It to the other university. Yeah. It's streamlined and it's actually a lot easier, but you do the accommodation on your own.
Yes.
Which I personally lived in, like, essentially a freshman dorm at St. Andrews. And so I just had to... Actually, I took out a loan from McAllister and used... So they gave me the money, and then I had to give the money to St. Andrews, so it was kind of a pain. It would have been nice if there was a way to just, like, give it to McAllister, and then they do it. But
yeah.
It was actually a little bit terrifying for a minute, because I had a struggle transferring the money from my bank account to St. Andrews. So I had the money, but it was an ordeal to get it to them, and it was terrifying because I was like, "Oh, I'm in Scotland."
Yeah, that happened to me too.
And I might not have housing.
Yeah,
even though I have the money, I don't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing that can happen.
Also, a thing that you should figure out beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Instead of when you're there.
And randomly, if you're going to the UK, don't fly through Ireland.
Oh, really? Yeah. Weird immigration things. People get like messed up about that.
Yeah. I had a friend who flew, you know, like the US to Dublin to Glasgow or something.
Yeah.
And she had to literally leave the country of Scotland and go to Amsterdam for a day and like re-enter Scotland in order to be legally allowed to stay for the full semester, which is not something monetarily possible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I know if that had happened to me, I would have had like a safety net and had been able to do it, but it would have been pretty terrible. So, you know, if you're figuring out your flights to go to the UK, don't go through Dublin.
Yeah, nobody told me that beforehand. So. Yeah.
So there's like really weird immigration stuff with that.
You can go through Scotland, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a little tip for any English majors who want to go to the UK. And then, so, I mean, that's really like the only perspective we can talk about personally is direct enrolling. But there are programs as well where you live with people in your host country.
And you go around and. Oh. You can live with people in the host country, too. I was also thinking of the ones where you go around with a group of people.
Oh, that too.
You go to, like, hotels and stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe not hotels, maybe, like,
I don't know how
special housing.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, there are some programs where you hit multiple countries over your semester.
There's one that a lot of English majors do where they go to London and Florence.
Mm-hmm.
London for half the time, Florence for the rest.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I was going to do that, but then I didn't.
Wow.
I know.
Did you miss the application deadline?
No.
Okay.
I just decided to do direct enroll instead.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, I think there were definitely benefits of direct enroll in that I felt like I had more freedom to do what I wanted. So I wasn't coming home to a host family or anything. So I just like, if I wanted to go somewhere for the weekend, I would just go. But also, I mean, it would have been kind of nice to, I think I would have had more of a cultural experience had I been living with people.
I think that would have been nice. Yeah. There's actually, I did not do this, but when I was in King's, there's actually these programs you can do where you can sign up for it and you can just go live with like a host family for a couple days or like a week or something.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's still, even if you do direct enroll and go to a dorm, there's still like opportunities to go to a host family and stuff.
That's cool.
So
I should have looked into that. Even my roommate was from Texas, so it was like not a lot of Scottish people. I mean, in general, there's not a huge amount of Scottish people in St. Andrews anyway, which is interesting. Most of them are English or North Americans in Scotland. So yeah, I don't know, man.
Who knows?
But yeah. So that's like, I actually took English classes while I was abroad. I took like a Jane Austen class and a Beowulf course. But since the English major only requires 10 different classes, a lot of English majors have the flexibility to essentially take off a semester from doing English.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things.
And they can focus on more, you know, like language learning or an internship while they're abroad.
Yeah.
Focus more on cultural learning, doing research projects, things like that.
Oh, yeah, research projects.
Yeah. There's a lot of flexibility, so it's really cool to look into different options and figure out, like, what you want from your study abroad experience.
And for a lot of those, you do have to figure it out beforehand.
You do.
So
you do. Yeah.
Plan it out.
So now is the time to start figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think on their little, like, steps to a study away thing that I don't know if it's like Markham Hall is doing it or whatever. But I think we're post fall break, pre Thanksgiving. So I think you're supposed to be like meeting with advisors, figuring out exactly what program you want to do.
Application is supposed to be in by Thanksgiving.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
It's like December 4th, right?
Something's supposed to be in by Thanksgiving.
Okay. I mean, I think by Thanksgiving, you should, if you're planning on studying abroad next year, you should know what program you want to do.
Well, yeah.
That's the main crux.
Okay.
Like, we're getting to the home stretch here. Like, it seems like it's a far way off, but you do have to narrow it down to one program that you are going to do.
Definitely.
If you're first year, you know, why are you even thinking about this? Yeah. Calm down. It's too soon.
You're fine.
Just chill.
Just hang out.
Wait until sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else interesting to say about study abroad or away off campus?
I can't think of any other
useful
words of wisdom that I have.
I mean, I'm not wise.
Yeah, so
I'm
that's not sure the problem.
I can help anyone. You know, banking.
Figure that out.
Yeah, I did it pretty incompetently, to be honest. I probably is easier to just like open a bank account.
Yeah.
In the host country, I didn't do that. I paid a lot of international fees, like
yes.
a fool.
Yes. Oof.
Like a fool.
I really should have done that.
And I was carrying around like thousands of dollars of cash.
Yeah, I was too.
Which is an exaggeration, but
don't do that.
Don't. No.
Don't. Do that.
No, it's don't do what we've done.
Don't listen to us.
No, nothing terrible happened. Like I was never robbed, but still
I was.
Oh yeah.
My camera got stolen when I was in Harrods. So
did you report that to McAllister?
No.
Oh my god.
I reported it to Harrods, but they didn't find it.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
I didn't have anything stolen except potentially a handkerchief by the TSA or someone.
Handkerchief.
It's really surreal, but I bought this as like a stocking stuffer for Christmas because I went over fall break,
yeah.
or you know, fall semester. So I was coming home at Christmas. So I was like, Christmas shopping, Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I had it, and then I didn't have it by the time I got home. Like I put it in my suitcase,
uh-huh.
and then when I got home and I opened my suitcase, it was not there.
That's like, so sad.
Who did this? Who did this to me? It was. I did not care. I did not care. It was like 4 pounds or something.
Oh.
But, you know, still, it's a little weird.
Still
a little invasive.
Yeah.
Random airport people stealing my stuff.
Sadness.
It is sad.
Sadness.
Mm. But yeah, don't carry huge amounts of cash with you. That's a bad choice.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. I did that. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Hmm.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
Well.
I feel like we've really changed people's lives here. You know?
By putting them to sleep.
Excuse you. We have shared very vital information.
Okay.
The immigration thing was serious.
That's true. That was useful information.
You know, housing, the fact that you have to deal with accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. I don't know.
We could probably move on to some PSAs.
Let's move on to some PSAs, guys.
So... here's our new PSA jingle. There you go. That was the more, you know, star song
NBC.
That plays on PSAs. And it was beautiful.
What actually is our PSA today? We're telling people to
submit to Chanter.
Submit to Chanter,
do
guys.
Do it. The deadline is like in 4 days, so.
Get on that.
Hurry up.
Do you have poems? Do you have prose?
Do you have photography?
Other visual arts?
Yeah.
Then submit that to Chanter.
Get on it.
Your McAllister's Literary Magazine.
It Share. Would be very cool Publish. To be published.
It would. So do that. Do it soon because, like we said.
4 days.
4 days. Okay. That was our PSA.
That was beautiful.
Was it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, okay, so my excuse for this show is that it's like the show right after fall break. So we're, you know, we have to be back at school. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I feel like my excuse last week was that it was almost fall break.
Fall break.
So we also didn't want to put that much effort into it.
Fall break is just a black hole.
It is. And all of our ability to care or do anything competently has been sucked into it.
Oof.
Hmm.
Next I feel week. Like that happens all the time.
Yeah, for me, I wish I could blame that on personally. Breaks realistically, but...
I'm just talking about, like, everything in my entire life, you know.
All of your potential
all
and
of my motivation.
And motivation.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that weren't true, but that is kind of true.
It's Halloween in a couple of days, so...
Yeah.
That's pulling me through.
Bro. Hmm. So, anyway.
Music?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
Well, like, we'll swing back here and give you some book recommendations that are going to get you ready for a spooky Halloween.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do some music first, though.
Tom Waits, which is pretty spooky.
Oh, my God. I love Tom Waits.
Down There by the Train.
Was a place sinners grow. Down where the willow and the dogwood grows. Down there by the tree. Down there by the tree.
Welcome back. We just played one song, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Down There by the Train by Tom Waits.
My man.
Oh, and Tom Waits. You're listening to 91.7 WMCN, McAllister College Radio.
Forgot the FM.
FM.
St. Paul, Minnesota. You know, we'll practice. We'll practice one day.
We got it last week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, don't listen to our last show, okay?
Yeah.
God.
All right.
Anyway.
Now it's time for host recommendations. Welcome back. Host recommendations.
I feel like that song doesn't fit with the recommendation we're about
really
to give.
No, it really doesn't.
But I really enjoy it because it reminds me of being in an elevator. I like elevators.
Elevator.
I like elevator music.
Yeah.
You know.
Gotcha.
So,
anyway,
recommendation this week.
In lieu of Halloween, yes, the scariest book I've ever read, scariest book many people have ever read,
House of Leaves
by Mark Danielewski.
My God.
Really good. It is quite a commitment.
It's long.
It's long.
It's
complicated. It's confusing.
It's not written in a traditional way.
No, it's, there's like, three different narratives, two at least.
The
sometimes
formatting
three.
Of the pages is, you know, like some of the text
strange.
Is just like diagonal for a while. Why
there's
not?
Footnotes all over the place. It's very confusing, and that puts a lot of people off, but I really liked it. I found it rewarding.
Rewarding.
To be obnoxious about it.
A rewarding read. Riveting, in fact.
Really, really scary.
I have only read maybe 200 pages of it, which is like barely a dent in this book because it's quite long.
Yeah.
So I didn't even finish it, and I was still terrified of it.
It's spooky.
It's unbelievable. I think of books as not being capable of being so scary.
Yeah.
Because they don't have like the power of all of your senses in a way that a movie does.
They can't
does.
Play scary music and stuff. So
there's
it's
no
just
such thing as a jump scare unless you get really spooked by a picture on the next
page.
Yeah,
so you can like read a book that's like eerie and like content-wise it's scary, but it doesn't actually scare you.
Yeah.
But House of Leaves will actually scare you.
You will look behind yourself.
You will
if you're
turn
reading
all
it alone
your lights on.
At night.
And that feels like an exaggeration, but no.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Truly spooky.
Yeah. Very I feel like we should touch on the plot so people actually know what it's about. It's a confusing plot.
Yeah, what is the plot? It's like guy finds a manuscript.
He does, of his dead neighbor, and he starts reading it, and the manuscript of the dead neighbor is like the main part of the story. It's about this family that moves into a house, a spooky house, which is a story that many of us have heard many times, but it does something new. And what's weird about the house is that it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Yes. So again, does not sound scary.
No, but it is.
However,
it is.
Get ready to be terrified.
Oh, boy.
Ah,
they'll, like, measure the inside, and it's, like, one wall is 15 feet long, and then they'll go outside and measure that same bit of wall, and it's only, like, 7 feet long, and it's just very confusing. And then they'll find a closet that wasn't there before, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's really scary,
but really good.
Really
so
good.
Perfect for the Halloween season.
Yes.
Obviously, unless you are a masterclass reader, you will not be able to finish it by Halloween.
No,
but you know,
if you do nothing but read House of Leaves until Halloween, you might be able to finish it,
but you will be terrified within the first like 100 pages. So
I would recommend reading it like by yourself at night.
Gets its full effect.
Yeah, like don't read it in the middle of the day
at
with
the
your friends around. You're not gonna feel it, you know. Read it by yourself.
Commit to it.
Go lock yourself in your room.
And it will reward you.
Yes.
With terror.
Lots of it.
House of Leaves.
No, I want to reread it.
I have it here.
I have it too.
I'm still trying to read it. I've started over because I've forgotten many of the things
that it happened. Is a slog. I will admit it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean that's pretty much all we got for today.
It is.
So remember to go to Marlon's party.
Yes.
I say that like he's throwing it or something. It's an event that the college is putting on in honor of him.
Yes.
It's not as if it's like at his house, but go to that.
Do it. Love it.
Love it. Go to the Halloween party. do that. Love that.
Yes.
Friday. Just love the English department.
Love it.
Okay. Study away from campus if you want to. Do that.
Study on campus if you want to.
Study wherever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just study.
Have fun.
Just, you know, enjoy life.
Do it.
This is getting weird.
It is.
I'd like to apologize again. I feel like this is the third time I've apologized for content that I've said on the radio. That's a okay. Bad track record.
It's okay.
I need to chill.
Mm-hmm. We will wish you all a good evening, mm-hmm. and you will hear us next week.
You've been listening to The Spoken Words.